You're listening to Crossroads International Church podcast. Welcome. We hope this podcast will bless you from wherever you're listening to it. For more information, go to our website at xrgs.nl. And now, let's get into the podcast.
Good morning, everybody. The Indonesians are in the house today. It is so, can I just tell you, I just love this community, and I love that we are able to take times, set aside certain Sundays and just celebrate that. Just celebrate who we are and just that God has brought us from all the corners of the earth, and that somehow, by the grace of God, we are able to be together in one room, loving and worshiping our God. So before I continue with our sermon series that's taking us into summer, I first want to do something. I want to talk about our volunteers in our church community. I thought, what a wonderful moment we have before we, those of us who are blessed enough to go on summer holiday, before we do that and we scatter all over the place again, wanted to take this time to acknowledge you, our volunteers. So I'm going to ask you that if you have this year volunteered in any capacity in the life of Crossroads, I'm going to ask you to stand. Knowing full well that we might have almost just about the whole church stand. That's okay. If you volunteered in any way, whether it's at Sunday school or welcoming here or leading a life group, whatever it might be, if you have volunteered in any way, I would like for you to stand. Don't be shy about standing. And trust me, you're going to want to stand if you know what I'm going to say next. So before I just want to say this. I want us to just take this moment and just acknowledge one another. I want us just to take a moment and see the people standing around us and just see this community. We are only and can only really be a healthy, thriving community when each and every one of us realize that we've got a place here and we belong here and we've got a place to serve. And so those of you who are standing have said, God, I want you to use me in this community. And so I want to now say to you, thank you. Thank you for your time, for your effort, for your talents, for your willingness to often, I know, at cost to you, to still being willing to say, I want to serve God and God's people by helping and volunteering and serving in this community. So I wanted to, on behalf of the staff, the elders, want to say, look you in the eye as best as I can. I'm scanning the room and just say thank you. Now, as part of us saying thank you, what we've done is, right, we've organized an ice cream truck. And so the stewards are going to come around and they're going to give you a token. So this token is for you for free to go to the ice cream truck as part of our community Sunday and go and get an ice cream at the ice cream truck. Us just saying thank you, we love you. We appreciate you. Please get your token, and I want to pray for us. Once you've got your token, then you're welcome to sit. Then the stewards can know who still needs one. While they hand it out, I want to pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you for this community. Thank you that we can celebrate Indonesian Sunday today. Lord, but thank you for all the different communities within our larger community. And especially thank you for those standing here today and those who are perhaps not in the hall because they're busy serving outside. Thank you for their willingness to be a servant to us all. Will you bless them? Will you enfold them with your loving arms? Lord, I pray that they will see and recognize our heartfelt gratitude, acknowledging how they have served today, that we are grateful and we love them and we thank them for it. So bless and keep them. In Jesus' name, we pray. Okay, so as you grab your tokens, we're going to carry on with our sermon series. So, you remember I shared with you some weeks ago, I thought, what a nice, fun, beautiful, yet meaningful way to kind of lead us into the summer, is to have a look at some of those well-known, familiar, epic moments in the Old Testament, those momentous stories that perhaps many of us, if we grew up in the church, remember from Sunday school, and perhaps we've never looked at them or revisited them since those days. And so we've been looking at David and Goliath, Rahab. What did I do week one? I forget now. Daniel and the lion's den, of course. Today we're going to look at another one of those incredible stories that we read in the Old Testament. And we're going to say, God, what does that mean for me today? Today we're going to look at Jonah and the whale. What a story. Now, let's just kick it off. So Jonah was a prophet. Now, God chose prophets to deliver his message to his people. And often this message that prophets had to deliver was not really a fun message to give to the people. And it usually was kind of a two-sided thing. On the one side, it usually was about, hey, listen, people, you're not living in accordance with God's will for your lives. You've gone off the path. It's time to come back. And so it was usually a call to return, a call to repentance, a call to return to God. And then the other side of it was this, a moment of grace, a God willing to forgive and to welcome back. So the prophet's message was usually always about an invitation and a challenge to say, hey, will you look and recognize where your life is? Will you take an honest look at what's going on in your life, in society around you? And then it was a call to return to the arms of a loving Father to receive forgiveness and restoration. And so God gives Jonah a task. Let's read Jonah chapter 1. Verse 2, as we're going to go through the story today. This is a great story. You're going to love this. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. See, so now God's giving him a task. Go to the great city of Nineveh. Nineveh today, so you can situate it, is in northern Iraq near the city of Mosul. So God says, Jonah, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. Okay, so it's never nice to be the guy telling people how bad they are. Saying, listen, you're not doing great. Turn or burn. Right? It's never nice to be that guy. But there's something else going on here. This is so much more than just Jonah having to deliver a difficult message. You see, the city of Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. Now, the Israelites and the Assyrians were not friends. They did not like one another. They had a bad history. And so effectively what God was asking him to do was to go to non-Jews, Gentiles, with a different God. God, do you understand that I'm probably going to lose my head? Is really kind of, I would imagine, what was going on in his mind. Do you want me to go there and tell them about you? It's not going to go down well. And besides that, they are our enemies. Do you want me to be your instrument of grace to them? No thanks. So this is not just a case of Jonah, you go and do what you've done before in the king's court and preach God's message to into the courts of the kings. This was so much more. This was to go to a different place, an enemy, and to speak God's word to a nation that had many other gods as well, into a hostile environment. And that's why we read the next verse. Verse 3 says this, but Jonah ran away. We understand why. We all probably would have. He ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. Now, Tarshish, nobody today really knows 100% where it is. There are some that speculate that it is somewhere off Crete or on the Iberian Peninsula, Spain. But what's more important about Tarshish is not where it's located, but its association. And the association, its connection is this. It is probably the most exotic place and far away place you can go to get away from. So what is happening here is, he was running as far and as fast as he possibly could in the opposite direction. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. So twice in one verse, we get this idea of him fleeing from the Lord. So I want you to notice something. This is not just a case of someone getting a word from God. God saying, listen, this is what I want you to do with your life. And here's an instruction. Here's a calling. This is not just somebody saying, God, no, I don't think that's a good idea. They're probably going to chop my head off. I don't want to do this. So this is so much more than just an instruction from God and saying, God, no thanks. Thanks, but no thanks. This is more than that. Will you notice he's actively trying to ditch God? He's actively trying. This is active, intentional rebellion. He's actively trying because he figured out the only way to be fully and properly be disobedient to God is to try and escape God. Now, this reminds me of the words of Psalm 139. Do you remember those words? You know them. Let me read them for you. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Now, surely Jonah knew this. He understood this. But still twice we get this. It is a Hebrew idiom, this expression to flee from the presence of God. And all that it means, it really means a choice to rebel against. So here we have someone who knows that God is asking something of him and choosing to live in disobedience to that, in rebellion to that. And for me, really what happens now and unfolds in the rest of the story is how God responds to his disobedience and his rebellion, and how Jonah then in turn responds to God. Because what you'll come to discover, we're going to go through a story, is there are three gifts that God gives him. So he's running away. God's response is to give him gifts. Three moments that act really as an invitation to a deeper level of relationship with God. So he's disobedient. He's running away. What does God do? Hey, Jonah, come back. And God again, again, and again gives him these moments of grace, these moments of invitation to respond differently. These moments of transformation and restoration. Okay, so here he is running away, rebelling against God. Just a quick thought here. Here's a quick pastoral comment. As I was reading this, I was reminded of Matthew 28. See, because what we must remember is that this is not just some old, irrelevant Old Testament story. You and I, as New Testament believers, read this and say, God, what are you saying to me in and through this story? And I was reminded of Matthew 28. I was reminded, here is somebody, God asked him, will you go where it is uncomfortable, where you go to the unfamiliar and speak my love and my grace and call back to repentance, call back those who have wandered far, even though they are your enemies. And I was reminded how Jesus, didn't Jesus ask us to do the same in Matthew 28? Hey, followers of me, Jesus would say, go into all the world. Sound familiar? Go into the world and make disciples of all nations. And so I just wonder, before you get too harsh on Jonah and think you're better than him, I just wonder, how eager are we in the context of Jesus' great commandment to us in Matthew 28? How eager are we to share with others God's message of repentance and forgiveness? And if we don't, aren't we being a little bit like Jonah? A pastoral thought. Okay, then what happens next? Verse 4. Jonah, go to Nineveh. No thanks, God. Get on a ship. Goes the opposite direction. Verse 4, this happens. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. He runs, and then there's a storm. I want to talk about the gift of the storm. Because here we have, I think, God's first gift. Isn't it funny, just so by the way, just a side comment, how often God's gifts don't really feel like gifts. Can I just say that? He runs and hears a storm. And I want us to think of the storm as one, this first gift moment, this moment of grace, this moment of reaching out, this invitation to him. To reconsider his ways. The storm. I think about the storm in two ways. I want us to see it in this way. So I'm reminded of Hebrews 12, verse 6. And about how because we love to do our own thing and go our own way, like Jonah. We are so similar. So I see here how God uses the storm in two ways. Firstly, Hebrews 12, 6, we are reminded how God disciplines those, and this is not, but how God disciplines those whom he loves. And I think it's something we do need to consider, something we do need to hear and remind ourselves of when we know we are living, when we are running away, when we know God is asking and wanting something of us, and we know we are aware of this, and we woefully run away in the opposite direction. I'm reminded of Hebrews 12, 6, how God disciplines those whom he loves. But here's what I see about the discipline of God. The discipline of God, because, and just so by the way, and I think here's part of the reason why God does that. It's because our disobedience and rebellion is so often really not just about us. Because in his rebellion, what he was doing is he was robbing, he was denying over 100,000 people of God's grace and hearing God's message of hope and life and forgiveness and reconciliation. It's about what my disobedience does and the impact it has on others. But what I notice about God's discipline is God uses the storms. On the one hand, how God uses the storm as a gift, as an invitation, as a call, as a wake up. Hey, Jonah, wake up. Your life's headed in the wrong direction. So the storm becomes a gift. So God's discipline, I say, it's not so much punitive as what it is restorative. It's always out of God's love for us, his desire to call us back to him. So how do we respond in the storms of life? How do we view storms and difficult times, difficult seasons in life? Do we see them as, you know, well, this is God, I mean, punished, this is horrible, whatever the case may be, or is it God's love for me? Is this possibly a moment where God is trying to get my attention, trying to call me back to Him? An invitation, a moment of grace, a potential moment of grace, a potential moment of invitation, calling me to a deeper relationship with Him, a deeper level of transformation. The storm becomes the place where He is called to a deeper level of transformation by God. Wake up, Jonah, as God calls him back. How do we respond to life's storms? I want to say to us, I think to reject God's purposes for our lives is to reject our best life. It's to reject the best that God has for us. Anyway, so here's the storm, and it serves as this gift from God, this moment of grace, this wake up Jonah moment, quite literally, because the Bible tells us he was asleep in the ship. So he wakes up, and here's what happens. Verse 11 and 12. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. Jonah's now awake. So they ask him, what should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? So I'd like to think maybe what should have worked well here is, well, let's just turn the ship around and go back. But instead, he's a bit dramatic, and he goes, pick me up and just throw me into the sea. Of course, we never get dramatic during the storms of life, do we? He replied, and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon us. What I love about him here is that he recognizes the storm as a God moment. He recognizes God's intervention, God's invitation, God's grace. And I think that's a challenge for us too. In life's tough moments, do we recognize God's hand in those moments? You know, I was thinking, so just this morning, I got up early. I was up at about 4:30 this morning, and I was praying and preparing. And there was, so I live near the West End of Plus. There was one almighty storm. The wind was going crazy. It was raining. It was a full-on storm. Yet the sun was shining. And I'd like to think that it was a bit of a moment like that for Jonah. The wind, the storm, the rain. But he recognized the sun is shining. He recognized that this is so much more than storm. God is in this. God is offering me grace. He's offering me a moment to reconsider, to rethink, to turn my life around and to live in accordance with His will for my life. There is a storm, but he recognizes God is in the storm. And what I love about him at this moment is that he recognizes God in the storm. He recognizes, hey, I am not in a good place. I have rebelled against God. I'm not living the way God wants me to. He recognizes that. He acknowledges that, and he does something about it. I would have said, listen, just turn the ship around, take me back. But no, he's a bit dramatic. Throw me in the sea. But here we have this moment where things are not the way they should be. And God's love and grace reaches out to him, finds him on that boat in the middle of nowhere. He recognizes that. He acknowledges that. And he takes that on board. He does something about it. He turns things around, albeit dramatically, thinking of others, not himself, throw me into the sea. The story of Jonah, I think, invites us to ask the question, can I recognize the sun shining in the midst of the storm? Can I recognize God in my moments of struggle and difficulty? Can I recognize when God is trying to wake me up, to call me to order? And then when he does, what do I then do? How do I respond? With pride or with humility? Do I welcome God's gift of grace? Or do I continue doing my own thing? Okay, then we get to the story that we all know, that's famous, about the big fish. So now he's in the water, right? Imagine this. So he's in the water, it's a big storm, doesn't have a life vest on. Things are not looking good for him at all. Probably going to drown. Then we read verse 17. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, like those two ladies in the kayak. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. So much we can say about that, but I just want to say this. Sometimes you hear people think or people talk and see the fish as God's punishment. God asked you to do something, you didn't do it, so God's going to punish you, and he's sending a fish, and now you're being swallowed by a fish, and now you're in the belly of a fish. But if we read it carefully, the Lord provided. And so this now becomes the second moment of grace, the second invitation of God to Jonah to turn his life around to a deeper level of transformation. So the fish becomes, it's not a punishment, but it becomes salvation for him. It's a moment, because here he is bobbing around, floating around in the ocean, and God gives him this gift, which again, probably didn't feel like a gift at the time, to save him, and in essence, carry him to safety. The fish becomes for him an invitation to restoration, recovery, and turning his life around. I want to say to you, if you feel like you are bobbing around in a storm, even there, God's love and grace will find you. And often God's grace and love comes to us in unusual ways, in unexpected ways. But God's love for you and I is so great that even if it takes a big old fish, I'm going to find you. I'm going to find you in your storm. And I'm going to again offer you that moment of restoration. Here is a man running from God, and God finds him and saves him, works in his life to bring him to a place of healing and restoration. And God wants to do the same for us. And that often happens in unusual and unexpected ways. Okay, so again, we remember God asked him to go to people he doesn't like, his enemies. I don't want to be your vehicle of grace to these people. He runs away, and then the fish, and now he's in the belly of the fish, and he prays. So for 3 days he's wrestling, he's trying to figure out, God's saying, I'm offering this moment to turn your life around. And he uses his time, and he thinks, and he's wrestling, and he's figuring stuff out, and he prays. His prayer is an interesting prayer. It is the kind of prayer that I think we're familiar with. It's the kind of prayer that goes, God, I don't want to die in this fish. And you know, I don't want to live here forever. So I don't really want to do this. But okay, then, I'll do it. His prayer is has that kind of, well, we question his sincerity, because he prays, okay, God, essentially, I'll go and do what you want me to do. But it's a prayer like, I don't really want to do it, but I'll do it because that's better than living in the belly of this fish. So, okay, let's just do it. The kind of prayer that's almost like if you've got kids, small kids, you remember when they fight and you ask them, when they fought and you turn to them and say sorry to your sister. And they go, sorry. It's that kind of feel, his prayer to it, like, God, I don't want to do this. These people are horrible, but okay, I'll do it. Anyway, God commands the fish and he spits him out and he goes to them, he tells them about God's love and God's grace and that they need to repent and turn from the evil ways. And to his disappointment, they listen. And God saves him. Jonah 3, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong. And he became angry. And then he prayed to the Lord. This is fantastic. Isn't this what I said, God? When I was still at home, I told you this is going to happen. This is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. Because I know you are a generous and a gracious and a compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. I knew you were going to do this. This is so funny. So here he goes, he preaches, God listens, God saves, and he's sulking. You can just, I knew you were going to do this. You are just too good, God. You're just too kind. You saved them, and he's upset. He is sulking big time. Okay, can I just give Jonah a little bit of credit here? I think just one thing for us is what I love here is that even though his heart's not really in it, he's obedient. And he does what God has asked him to do. And I think there's just a side pastoral comment for us here. I think the challenge for us is to say, God, help me to live in obedience even when I don't feel like it. Like Jonah. Even if my heart's not there, I know you want my heart, but help me to live in obedience even though I don't feel like it. And then, Holy Spirit, will you change my heart so that my emotions will follow my actions? Right? Actions precedes emotions. So I love about him that even though he didn't feel like it, he did it. So he shares God's good news. God listens. The people repent. God listens, saves them. He sulks. Now he's in the desert all alone. He's sulking. I knew you were going to do this, God. You shouldn't have saved these people, but you did. He's sulking. God responds graciously, and here's the third moment, this third invitation to Jonah to a deeper level of transformation, of turning his life around, of getting deeper in his relationship with God and changing as a person. See, what I want us to see in the story is here is somebody like us who's very good at doing his own thing. And here he finds himself in the season of his life of willful disobedience to God. And yet what I see is God's love pursues him. God's grace doesn't leave him there in his place of running away. And God gives him an invitation through the storm. Hey, Jonah, wake up. This is not, you need to turn things around. In the belly of the whale, hey, can we just take 3 days? Turn things around. And here's the third one. So he's sulking. He's in the desert. It's hot. He's very grumpy, very upset. Verse 6, then the Lord provided a leafy plant. So once again, God's response to us always is one of grace and an invitation to reform, to transform, to be reconciled, to be renewed. So God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give him shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. Not for long, because the plant died the next day, and then he was grumpy again. Oh, God knows us so well. And then God responds to him one final time, and the story ends right there. Very strange. So the plant dies, he's grumpy again, and this is what God says. But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? It is, he said. I'm so angry, I wish I were dead. I told you Jonah's dramatic. But the Lord said, you've been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend to it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern, Jonah, for the great city of Nineveh then, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left? God is so gracious. So this is how the story ends. It ends with God challenging him about his priorities and his values. Essentially, you care more about a plant that you had nothing to do with that lasts one day than what you care for these people, 100,000 people, women and children, men who are going to die. You don't care for them, but you care about this plant. You're upset about this plant. And so God's challenging him about his priorities and his values. And that's how the story ends. And I think it ends that way for a reason, and it is this. I think it is so that you and I, the modern day reader, can understand and remember we are part of this story. This is our story. And so so we don't know how he then responds to God's third invitation, to God's challenge, God's invitation to transformation, to transforming his life, his attitude. We don't know how he responds, so that you and I know we're part of the story, and the challenge goes out to us, the question goes out to us, how will you respond? How will you respond to God's grace as you live in the storms, as you live in your disobedience, as you go and do your own thing and your priorities are all messed up and your values are all wrong? And God, how do you respond to God's invitations, to God's moments, to God's gifts, to God's grace? What will you do with them when God challenges you? Your priorities, your call, your attitude, your storms, God's invitation to return to him. Those large fish moments, those storm moments, what will you do? Will you sulk? Will you continue to rebel? Or will you accept God's invitation to transformation? Ultimately, we see in the story that three times God is inviting Jonah to a deeper level of transformation, to draw closer to God. Are we open to those invitations of God in our lives to grow and mature and transform, to be and live as God's people in the world? Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening, and we hope that you have a wonderful week. See you next time.